Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, the first American Thanksgiving was actually celebrated in 1623, and William Bradford was the governor of the Plymouth Colony. He issued the very first Thanksgiving proclamation, and these are the words he wrote. "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and he has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us and spared us from pestilence and disease, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime, on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings." Well, that was 392 years ago, and times have changed. Corn, wheat, and barley and beans now pack our grocery shelves. Forest game has been replaced by farm-raised meat. Pestilence and disease are much less common. But if our prosperity is on the rise, then why is Thanksgiving in decline? Why do you and we know it, why do you and I struggle with complaining and grumbling, it seems, more than the earlier generation, whose standards of living were a fraction of our own? Someone once put it this way: poverty and hunger beget thankfulness, but abundance can kill it. Well, this is a serious trend. And to reverse this trend this holiday season, preachers have an obligation. We need to speak of our riches in Christ. We need to speak of our poverty outside of Christ. We need to call for renewed faith in Christ so that we can express that faith through white-hot thanksgiving this holiday. This year, I'd like for you to commit yourself right now to white-hot thanksgiving. Will you and I break the trend this Thanksgiving of the ho-hum time for another holiday? Will we abandon the mentality of turn on the game, take a nap, and forget to give thanks on Thanksgiving? Well, if so, the story of the 10 lepers may help you and I. Because the first point we see in our text tonight is that we should show gratitude for the mercy of Christ. Let's look at verse 11 again, 11, 12, and 13. I'll read it out loud. You follow along. "Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Now, there is one thing about the lepers that we know decisively. They actually tell us this by their own words in our text. We know about these lepers one thing: they are pitiful, and they know it. They cry out these words, "Have pity on us." They are pitiful, and they know it. Their fingers and their toes have been chewed and gnawed away by a very painful disease. Their bodies are often numb. Their muscles are paralyzed. They are neglected by their own people. Flies and filth follow them wherever they go. These 10 lepers are pitiful, and they know it. They don't debate it. They take no offense when others notice it. They are willing to publicly admit it. But you know, that is actually not their most profound problem. They have got worse problems than that problem. These 10 outcasts catch Jesus asking him for healing at the wrong time, in the wrong place, with the wrong disease, using the wrong words. They are more pitiful than they even know. First, they catch Jesus asking for a miracle at the wrong time. Here in the mornings on Sunday, here at Cedar Church, we've been studying the Gospel of Luke for many months. And we've called our sermon series, With Jesus on the Jerusalem Road. Why? Because in chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus clearly turns his face toward Jerusalem. His work up north in Galilee was coming to an end. He now turns south to the city of Jerusalem. And for 10 chapters, chapter 9 through 19, Luke keeps reminding us again and again, for the final time, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. And what is waiting for him in Jerusalem? Death is waiting for him. Suffering is waiting for him. His sacrifice on the cross for our sins is waiting for him. And here, as we approach in chapter 17, we see Jesus is on his final approach. When I was a boy, kids, I was in the Boy Scouts of America. I loved the Boy Scouts, and I also was in a branch of scouting called the Explorers. I actually joined an aviation post. It was called Post 747. Fancy that name. And we met at the airport, Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, and that Explorer post, of which I was part, owned a single-engine airplane. It was a Cessna 150. Now, if you've ever been in a private aircraft, you may know that small planes approach the airfield in four stages, which form a box. There's crosswind, there's downwind, there's base leg, there's final approach. And of all those stages, the one that gave me the most exhilaration, you can guess what? Final approach. Because there's so much going on during final approach. You're monitoring your airspeed. You're watching your angle of approach. You have to keep your eye on the landing strip, maneuvering your flaps, and maintaining radio contact with the tower all at once. It's a time of intense concentration. You are preoccupied with matters of life and death. Well, here in Luke 17, this is final approach to Jerusalem, and Jesus could be very preoccupied. The weight of the world was on his shoulders. His mission of salvation was heavy on his mind, and in the midst of that journey, which could preoccupy him so well, 10 lepers bother Jesus. They caught him at the wrong time. Next, they caught him at the wrong place. Where does our text tell us Jesus was hiking? Jesus was hiking in the Badlands. No, not the South Dakota Badlands. Those are fun to hike. I've been there. They're hot. But these were other Badlands. This was the frontier countries in the outskirts of respectable Israel. It was at the borderland between Samaria and Galilee. And there dwelt the Samaritans. And the Samaritans were the cousins to the Jews, and these cousins hated each other. Samaritans were racial half-breeds with a different religion than the Jews. Those Samaritans rejected every book of the Old Testament except the first five. They believed the rest of the Bible was a figment of Jewish imagination that wanted all the power in Jerusalem. And they worshiped at a different place, not in Jerusalem, but on Mount Gerizim. There was no love loss between the Jews and the Samaritans. Plus, many of you who are here at Cedar on Sunday mornings may remember back when we preached through Luke 9. Jesus, the last time he visited Samaria, they ran him off. Luke 9, verse 53 says, they did not welcome Jesus because he was headed to Jerusalem, and they hated that name. And now we have deja vu all over again. As he's walking the borderlands, these lepers caught Jesus at the wrong place. They also, thirdly, caught Jesus with the wrong disease. Now, perhaps they were true lepers, which today we call victims of Hansen's disease. But the Greek word for leprosy could be broad enough to include boils, burns, sores, and white spots. Either way, we don't know exactly, but they were certainly religiously unclean. And so they had to live alone. They had to live alone, away from family, away from friends, away from community. They were issued these regulation uniforms to wear and regulation haircuts. Their clothes had to be torn, rags had to veil their lower face, and their hair had to be messy and unkempt. And as far as the faith community was concerned, they were not welcome in the temple. They were not welcome in the village synagogues. They were avoided by any devout believer. I can think of no modern-day disease that carries such stigma as leprosy, nor inflicts such sorrows as leprosy. There's not AIDS or Alzheimer's or cancer that can match the demoralization of leprosy. At least cancer victims can put on makeup and wear wigs, but not a leper. At least Alzheimer's casualties are permitted to visit with their families, but not a leper. They really caught Jesus with the worst disease they could. Finally, they used the wrong words. Look at verse 13, how they address him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Leviticus 13, verse 45 made it very clear. They should have cried out, "Unclean, unclean," but they didn't. It was the wrong time to approach Jesus for help. It was the wrong place to approach Jesus for help. It was the wrong disease with the wrong words. But that was the least of their troubles. The Bible teaches that these lepers, like the rest of us, have a more profound disease, a profound heart disease, a spiritual cancer. The Bible tells us that every man, every woman, every child has a spiritual condition much akin to ancient leprosy. But the trick is that it's not on the outside. It's on the inside. The Bible teaches that sin vexes our heart, that it corrupts our mind, that it courses through our veins, that it seeps out of our pores, that it reeks in our breath and spews forth upon our lap. And the only difference between the ancient leper and modern people is that ancient lepers know there is something wrong with their lives when moderns do not. The ancient leper, more than any person on the planet, knew that something was desperately wrong between them and their community and God. Daily, they saw reminders of this lack of reconciliation when they looked at their gnawed fingers, or they felt the coarse clothing they had to wear, or when they could hear in the distance that ram's horn sounding a call for everyone to come to worship except them. And they heard it every time someone in their group had to shout "unclean" because someone was walking nearby. We modern dwellers ignore our poverty before God, many times just because we wake up in the morning feeling sort of good. The ancient leper did not have that luxury. His disease reminded him daily that there's something wrong with life. There is something wrong between me, my neighbor, and God. Their symptoms graphically picture our spiritual decay. Now, many of us in this room are middle-class people. We're blessed with modern homes. We have food on our shelves. We have clothing in our closets. We have modern health care and pharmaceuticals and supplements and medicines. Well, I dare say that Jesus has tender concern for middle-class people to you and me. And he says so in Revelation 3, 17 and 18. Listen to his words. He says this, "You say, 'I am rich, and I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing.' but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That describes us. That's you. That's me. That's the words of Jesus. Now, we don't see it on our skin. We may be without disease, but it's in our hearts. And you and I are very much like these lepers, very much like them, even caught at the wrong time, in the wrong place, with the wrong disease, using the wrong words. But Jesus teaches the gospel is willing to heal spiritual lepers too. We see this in verse 14. Jesus commands them to go and show themselves to the priest. And in those days, the priest doubled as a local health inspector as well as spiritual caregiver. And as they go to that priest, the text says they are cleansed, healed and cleansed. Jesus does this for the human soul today. Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 11, that anyone who trusts in me will never be put to shame, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that, dear church, is the reason why you and I have such reasons to be thankful this Thanksgiving. Because sin has vexed our hearts. It has polluted our mind more than we can think. It courses through our veins. It seeps through our pores. It reeks in our breath through our words. And it spews forth like vomit on our laps. And yet, by God's grace, through our prophet, priest, and king, Jesus, Jesus heals and he purifies people today. We have good reason to be thankful for the mercy of God in Christ. Oh, this holiday, let us be thankful for the mercy of Christ. There's one more thing. It's our second and final point. The first reason we can give thanks this holiday is because of the mercy of God in Christ. The second point we see in our text as we come to its conclusion is that this holiday we are to show gratitude to express that faith in Christ. Look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now here our story takes a strange twist. We find that these ancient lepers are not quite so different than you and me. They take the money and run. When their prosperity went on the rise, their thanksgiving went into decline. In James 1, verse 19, James warns us not to gaze upon ourselves in a mirror and then turn away and forget straightway what manner of man we are. And this happens to these lepers before our own eyes. Now imagine with me, leprosy vanishing from your skin. Leprosy vanished from their skin, and so they promptly, like you and I on a good healthy day, forget about the leprosy in their heart. Yes, they show faith in Jesus, the miracle worker, but no, not faith in Jesus, the Savior of the human soul. Except for one. Mid-stride, one of them turns around and turns to Jesus with a loud voice, and he shouts praises to Jesus. He falls at his feet. He thanks Jesus, and he is the Samaritan of the group. And I agree with many commentators here. Jesus healed 10 lepers that day, but he healed only one human heart that day. And do you know how we know he healed at least one human heart that day? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving demonstrates deep, profound faith in God. Thanksgiving demonstrates a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving demonstrates that you've been saved by God's grace. When you have a saving and vital faith in Jesus, white-hot thanksgiving comes out. You can't contain yourself because you know you've been healed inside and out, body and soul, from the ravages of leprosy in all of its forms. Your praises are loud. You fall at his feet. You give him thanks. So this holiday, let's make a commitment not to make our families guess if we're thankful or not. Give public praise to God. Let it be visible. Let it be white hot. Perhaps it might look like a robust Thanksgiving prayer at the table. Perhaps it might be to ask family members around the table to name something they're thankful for. Perhaps you might give generously to the OPC thank offering this evening. Perhaps you will take the time to holiday greet your neighbor, family, or friend and invite them to church. Here it's Christmas outreach on December 13. There are so many ways to give thanks. So many ways. And that is the purpose Jesus said to that leper, rise up and be healed. So will you do that? Will you do that, or will you, like the 9 lepers, hurry off to do your holiday shopping? That's what the 9 did. They had people to see, places to go, things to do. They wanted to see their family for the first time in years. They wanted to visit that priest and be declared clean. They wanted to stop by the beautician and get a nice haircut. And they wanted a new suit from the tailor. Their day was a thankless Thanksgiving. How about ours? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for our rich redemption in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have shown us mercy above and beyond. You have given us clarity to see how truly lost we are without the grace of Christ. Our hearts are just like that ancient leprosy. We know it, Lord. We experience it daily. Your word reminds us of its truth. We need your grace. You pour it and lavish it upon us, and we thank you for it, and we pray that you would grant white-hot thanksgiving in our lives this week and for the weeks to come. Grant to us a humble and thankful heart, for we have so many reasons to give you praise, even this Thanksgiving service. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.